Sunday the 5th of May 2019, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, All at Sea. Sermon title, Hearing God. Bible reading, Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 to 22. Talk by Reverend Christine Harding.
The Bible reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 to 22. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch, inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle and upper decks. I am going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, although this is a familiar passage for us, I just pray, Lord, that you would let us listen once again to what the message is you have for each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're at the beginning of the month, and we always have a different thing, and now we're in All at Sea, and it's all about hearing God. Once there was a man who dared God to speak. Burn the bush like you did for Moses, God, and I will follow. Collapse the walls like you did for Joshua, God, and I will fight. Steal the waves like you did on Galilee, God, and I will listen. And so the man sat by a bush near a wall close to the sea and waited for God to speak. And God heard the man. So God answered. He sent fire, not for a bush, but for a church. He brought down a wall, not of brick, but of sin. He stilled the storm, not of the sea, but of a soul. And God waited for man to respond. And he waited. And he waited. And he waited. But because the man was looking at bushes, not hearts, bricks, and not lives, seas and not souls, he decided that God had done nothing. Finally, he looked to God and asked, have you lost your power? And God looked at him and said, have you lost your hearing? Have we lost our hearing? Do we no longer hear God speak to us? I wonder, can you imagine being Noah? How would you have felt if you had heard the Lord announce, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence, but I'm going to save you and your family, and I want you to build an ark. Now, the thing you need to remember is that it wasn't even raining or even rain clouds on the horizon, but God is saying, build an ark. I wonder, what are your first thoughts? Would you have thought, hang on, have I heard correctly? Did God just say, build an ark? No, surely not. Well, Noah may have thought that, but the amazing thing is that he believed it was a message from God, and regardless of what others thought, he was going to obey God's message and started with the plans given to him by God to build this enormous ark. I wonder how difficult must it have been for Noah to stand firm in his faith. One can imagine others ridiculing him and not believing that he was doing this for God. How many times did the devil tempt him, asking, Are you really the only one who is right? Are you really the only one who knows the truth? Do you really believe that all these people are going to be destroyed? How easy it would have been for Noah to doubt all that God had said to him and give in to temptation. One of the greatest gifts of our salvation has to be that of hearing God speak to us personally. Some hear God audibly, like Noah, and others it comes through scripture, or perhaps it might seem more like a feeling or a gentle nudge given to us. How often have you read a piece of scripture many times, and then suddenly that same piece of scripture seems to come alive, almost jumping off the pages, and for the first time you see it in a different light, and it means something meaningful to you? I believe that is when God is speaking to us through his word. Are we listening? Or have we shut our ears to God's message to us? God also appears to speak to us while sleeping, and suddenly you wake up with a start with a clear message from God ringing in your ears. There's no mistake. God is saying something to you. Do you listen or turn over and nod back to sleep? Perhaps God uses creation to get our attention. As you walk through a park, at the seaside, or wherever you might be, it may even be with something so familiar, but it's as if the very creation is speaking to you. It's at those times, I believe, God is breaking through into our spirit. I know some people often say, I never hear God speaking to me, but I'm convinced he does. But you have not recognised his voice. Learning to clearly distinguish God's voice is invaluable, because it helps us not to go through life blindly, but with his wisdom and guidance, as he protects us if only we take time out to sit and listen. The Lord constantly speaks to us and gives us his direction. It's never the Lord who is not speaking, but it is us who are not hearing. Jesus made some radical statements about hearing his voice in John 10:3-4. He was speaking about himself as the shepherd of the sheep and the only way to enter the sheepfold. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Notice that he said his sheep hear his voice. He didn't say his sheep can hear his voice or should hear his voice. He made the emphatic statement that his sheep do hear his voice. Most Christians would question the accuracy of that statement, since their experiences don't line up. But it's not what Jesus said that is wrong, because all true believers can and do hear the voice of God. They just don't recognise what they are hearing as being God's voice. The radio and the television stations transmit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but we only hear them when we turn them on. Failure to hear the signal doesn't mean the station isn't transmitting. Likewise, God is constantly transmitting his voice to his sheep, but few are turned on and tuned in. Most Christians are busy pleading with God in prayer to transmit when the problem is with their receivers. The first thing that we need to do is to fix our receivers. Believe that God is already speaking and start listening. However, that takes time, effort and focus. The average Christian's lifestyle is so busy it isn't used to hearing God's voice. For instance, what's your typical answer to the question, "How are you?" Some may say, "I'm really busy," especially if you are retired. I don't think that I have ever heard a retired person say they have nothing to do. On the contrary, they usually say, "I don't know how I had time to work. I'm busier now than when I worked." I know I am. All of us seem to be busier than ever. And that's one of the big reasons we don't hear the voice of the Lord better. We're just too busy. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." It's in the stillness, not the busyness, that we tune in our spiritual ears to hear the voice of God. The Lord always speaks to us in that still, small voice. I firmly believe that is why 9 times out of 10, I will hear the Lord in the middle of the night at about 3 a.m. Why? Because that's when I'm still and at rest with my spirit, allowing it to be aligned with God's. John 4:24 says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." This is saying that communication with God is spirit to spirit, not brain to brain or mouth to ear, the way we communicate in the physical realm. The Lord speaks to our spirits, not in words, but in thoughts and impressions. Then our spirits speak to us in words like, "I think the Lord wants me to do this or that." The Lord doesn't typically say, "You do this or that," but he will impress your spirit to do something. And then your spirit says, "I think I should do." Therefore, we often miss the leading of the Lord, thinking that it's our own thoughts. In many ways, you and I are in the same boat as Noah was. Noah lived in a corrupt world. And while the number of God's people may be more today than it was then, we are still living in a corrupt world, surrounded by noise and media telling us how we should live and what to buy. And the more we tune into the worldly ways, the harder it is to tune into God's ways and become a follower of the true God. Noah was told that the world would be destroyed by a great flood. We have been told that our world will one day be destroyed by fire. 2 Peter 3:6-7. Long ago the earth was covered with water and it was destroyed. But the heaven we see now and the earth we live on now have been kept by his word. They will be kept until they are to be destroyed by fire. God prepared Noah for that day with his commands and promises. And God prepares us with his commands and promises. He has not commanded us to build an ark, but he has commanded us to build up our faith by being in his word, by worshipping and being active members of his church, receiving his sacrament, which we will be doing shortly, and most importantly, by loving God with our whole heart, soul and mind, and to love one another the way he loves us. By following his commands, we prepare for his return. Wouldn't it have been tragic if Noah had not prepared? What if he had said, I don't need to do as God commands. I'm sure I'll be okay without an ark. Or, I'll get to that ark thing soon enough because right now I'm too busy and I don't have time. Wouldn't it be tragic if we do not prepare, saying, I don't need to do as God commands. I'm sure I'll be okay without God's word, without prayer or worship, without receiving his sacrament, serving or building God's kingdom. I'll get to those things soon enough. There's plenty of time because right now I'm enjoying life as it is, doing my own thing and going my own way. But I'll make my peace with God before it's too late. My question is, will you? Because Matthew 24:36 makes it very clear. No one knows the day or the hour. No, not even the angels in heaven know. The Son does not know. Only the Father knows. God has made the same promises to us as he did to Noah, to shield us from the destruction of that great day, lifting us high above the destruction, along with him and his holy angels. And when that day is done, he will create a new world, a paradise for his people. As difficult as living in this corrupt world can be, as terrible as his judgment on that day will be, it will all pale in comparison to the bliss that will follow. No wonder God's people have prayed for over 2,000 years, come, Lord Jesus. May our good Lord prepare us for this day, just as he prepared Noah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you continually call us, you continually speak to us. Father, I pray that we would have ears that would be able to hear your voice, that we would spend that quiet time with you to allow you to break through into our spirit so that we may know the plans and the purposes you have for each one of us. So come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.